Blog Talk Radio.
It's old time market.
Good morning, everybody. It's Sunday, November 26th. It's 10 a.m. Today, I'm Mike Bailey. I'm your host. We're going to be talking about the Philadelphia Flyers. We're going to break them down. We're going to rip them apart because Philadelphia is not a happy city right now with the Flyers. Thank God for the Eagles that they're doing so good right now. Thank God that the 76ers are fun again to watch, because if it wasn't for those two teams right now, Philadelphia would probably be burning shit down with how bad the Flyers are going right now. Because usually the Flyers are our hope during the wintertime. They're usually competitive. They're usually fun to watch. But the last seven games have been horrible. They lost two in the Minnesota home and home. They got shut out twice of them. They lost to Winnipeg. They lost to Calgary. They lost to Vancouver. They lost a home and home to New York over the weekend, the Islanders. And frankly, those last five games... They should have won those games, but for Philadelphia, you know, it just didn't go our way. But today we're joined with Kevin Fortier of the Phillies Flyer. Follow them on Twitter at Phillies Flyer. As we go ahead and break down the Philadelphia Flyers today. Hey Kevin, how's it going?
Hey, good morning, Mike. Thanks for letting me join you this morning.
Well, I know you're just like me, and you're pretty pissed off with the way the Flyers are going, and neither one of us are Dave Hackstall fans, and I think it's time for Dave Hackstall to start taking more of the brunt of this than what he's been taking over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of his. I thought that it was a big risk going with somebody who had, you know, zero NHL experience, and the Flyers passed up on, you know, several quality tenured NHL coaches at the time. My biggest concern is, you know, the roster decisions that he makes and the utilization of young guys. He's just not a development coach for young NHL players, it seems. And a lot of the decisions that he seems to be making on, you know, game, you know, during the game are just not panning out.
Right. Now, Ron Hextall, the GM, said that Dave Hextall was brought in to develop our players, the younger players that are coming in, because we're rebuilding, even though Hextall won't say that we're rebuilding, but we're rebuilding. Now, would you say it's the opposite that his development skills are not exactly where they should be? Because I read a Twitter post from Dave Isaac, who said that none of the rookies are seen time in overtime. Now, seems like it's not really developing anybody to me to have the rookies sit in overtime.
No, and that gets back to, you know, what I was saying about the roster decisions he's made. Connecting all year has... and it was especially highlighted when Patrick was out, has just been kind of stuck on the third line with whoever's left over, right? You know, he ends up playing with Laterra and Weiss for a while, you know, which was just a complete disaster. You know, then Hextall throws Filppula down there, but you still have Weiss or Laterra on the other wing. It's just not a chance for, you know, a second-year prospect to really gain confidence and grow his skills. You know, and we saw last year, you know, he got scratched a few times, just like, you know, Ghost was scratched a few times, and yet Hextall never, in the time that he had been there, had Belmare or Vandevelde as a healthy scratch. He never shows, you know, accountability when some of the stars aren't performing and or, you know, making, you know, mistakes in the game that cause the team, you know, to give up a late goal and end up losing or giving up a point. maybe getting to overtime or something. But he's kind of all over the place, and it's just not a good environment for, you know, young NHL players who really need to, have a place where they can grow and they can be confident.
Right. Now, I know a lot of people out there have said this, that we'd rather see this team lose with our rookies getting the ice time and letting them go out there, let loose, instead of seeing them not play at all or getting less than 10 minutes a game. Is that something you think that we should do, is just let the rookies get all the ice time they need and just kind of throw this season away, or maybe hope that the rookies catch on and they just start taking off and turn the team around?
Well, it's funny. I actually posted yesterday that I'd rather see them lose a few more games, you know, playing the young guys so that they're getting the experience. Because we've got several young players on defense that are gaining valuable experience. Provy, who's just amazing anyway, but he's still only 20 years old. He's a second year defenseman. You've got Haig back there, who's paired with Provy, is playing over 20 minutes a night now. You've got Sanheim playing. Morin should be here. But the forwards, we're not seeing that same level of opportunity, and I would rather see them, maybe not throw the season away, but or get all the ice time, but they could certainly be utilized in a much better manner, getting more opportunities, playing with better line mates, and giving them a chance to succeed. And then you've got, as we are rebuilding, even though nobody will admit we're rebuilding, you see that the forwards are coming along and getting that experience at the same time that defensemen are, because otherwise you're going to have a lopsided, future. Because who knows, in a couple of years, Simmons may end up not being re-signed here. What if they move one of Jake or Giroux and get rid of, those insane contracts that, go on forever, it seems. You're going to need forwards that are going to be experienced and be able to step up and carry the team.
Right. Now, one thing a lot of people are wondering is why Hacksaw broke up Voracek, Giroux, and Ghost for the overtime. Last couple of years, that line has been one of the best lines, if not the best, in overtime, and we have yet to see them this year, and so far we've basically lost every overtime game except for one, I believe. Other than that, we've lost everything in overtime.
Yeah, I haven't paid as much attention to that. I mean, I think they have played, some. I think you're right. In the last couple of games, he did kind of mix things up a little bit. And I know Flyers Twitter blew up when Manning got on the ice the other night. But he wasn't on ice for when they, the Islanders scored and that game, was lost. But, it wouldn't be bad to see, maybe Wheel or Konechny get out there and have some speed and creativity. But you're right. I mean, absolutely dominating overtime the last couple of years. That trio of Jake, G, and Ghost was just dominating.
See, since they brought up Danik Martell from the Lehigh, I wanted to see a Danik Martell, Travis Sanheim, and Nolan Patrick go out there for just one shift in overtime, see what they can do, because you got Martell is fast as hell. Like, when I saw him at the Islanders game here in Philly over the weekend, and he is creative. You saw in the first game against the Islanders when he got that breakaway. He did that all on his own. I'd love to see the Martell, Patrick, Sanheim line go out there for just one shift in overtime and see how they do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, without question, that, would certainly be fun to see. And he is just, oh, my God, he's so fast. That first game against the Islanders, it was just mind-blowing the way that he could just explode and just fly up the ice. He didn't get as many opportunities in the last game. I think he had six shots on goal in that first game, he was kind of limited in the last. I mean, he is so fast and creative. I would really like to see him, Patrick, and Konechny as a line. I know they're small. You know, they'd have to put some defense out there with some size to protect them. But, I mean, that would be insane.
Right, right. I know a lot of people are saying that we should just accept the team, that they're just a mediocre team for this year, and we probably had our expectations too high to think that they were go for a playoff team or go as a playoff team. But I personally don't buy that. When I see the players on this roster, I don't see a mediocre team. I see a team that should be competing for a playoff spot. I see a team that should be competitive more times than not. Do you think that we're just a mediocre team that shouldn't be going for a playoffs this year, or is this what the Flyers are?
Well, I'm trying to remember if you did this as well. At Phileas Flyer, we posted a whole slew of predictions for the season, and I actually predicted that they would not make the playoffs. My expectations weren't that high going into this year, because I did think that they were mediocre, and you were seeing over, not just one season, but, three down seasons for Giroux, his production dropping substantially. Voracek had been dropping substantially. You trade away, Shen, who's going to get 25 goals and 55, 60 points, who is dominating in the NHL now, actually getting a chance to play. My expectations weren't as high as a lot of people's were, but I definitely think that they're better than they're playing right now. I don't know what the exact, fix for this is, but they're certainly underachieving.
You're right. Do you think maybe now we go ahead and break up that first line? I mean, we do have some depth scoring now once in a while. Do you think we go ahead and just break up that first line now? Maybe that'll spark a little bit. I mean, the last couple of games, it hasn't actually been any offensive issues. It's mainly just defensive breakdowns, and we saw it in the overtime the last two games with Voracek puck watching, and we saw it in the first game against the Islanders with Ghost puck watching and not covering his man. What changes do you think we should go ahead and make to maybe get this team sparked up? I mean, we brought up Martel. We brought up Sam Moran. What else do we do?
Well, I wrote an article a couple weeks ago calling, and I've been saying ever since, to break up that top line, especially when you were getting nothing from, especially the middle six guys and nothing from, the fourth line, checking line guys. I think they – and you're right, the last two games or maybe three games, they've actually been scoring some goals. You've been seeing, more opportunities, more shots on goal from the other nine forwards. But they're just – in the last, I think it was the last Islanders game, one of the goals ended up being because Lawton turned the puck over at the blue line and the defense was trying to change. So, or maybe it was, I don't remember which game it was, but anyway, they ended up with a breakaway on goal and scored. So there's been some miscues on among the forwards. Yeah, I mean, I still think that they could definitely break up that top line, add some, consistent secondary scoring, maybe shore up the, a line with Patrick and Konechny or if they're on separate lines so that, they're getting the real opportunities, to produce. I mean, you saw Konechny in the Worlds last summer. He played really well on that line with was it Marner and Nylander? I'm trying to remember who the other two young kids were on that line. But you've got to give him some guys that can produce for him to elevate his game. So, yeah, I would definitely look at that.
Right. Now, just like anybody else in Philadelphia, we're not happy with the team right now. They're on a 7-game slide. But leave it up to Dave Hextall to try and turn this into a positive. He's really the only man on the face of the earth that can actually try and turn this 7-game slide into a positive. For those out there listening, if you haven't heard the words of Dave Hextall, just give this a listen.
That I think it's 7 of our last 10 that we've gotten a point. Five of those now are OT or shootout losses.
Kevin, is this something that Hextall should be trying to turn into a positive, that we've gotten 7 points in our last 10 games out of a possible 20 points?
Well, that's something that you do tend to see when there's, you know, not much good news. You try to spin something into not being as bad as it really is. So I don't know if that's a huge – I don't know if it's him not getting it or if it's him just trying to, you know, put a little bit better face on the situation. I would be more concerned if I was him, the fact that they've blown, you know, multiple goal leads in the last 5 games, actually. They had a 2-0 lead against Winnipeg. They lost 3-2. They had two-goal leads against Calgary and lost that game. They had a 2-goal lead against Vancouver. Oh, no, wait, that might have been the anomaly. Then they had two-goal leads in both of the Islanders games and lost. So they're not – they can't maintain a lead, and that's, you know, that's a real underlying issue. If you look at that team, that they get a lead and they can't hold on to it, and then, you know, yeah, they may end up getting a point in overtime, but they're leaving points on the table.
Yeah, I mean, you can only get so many points in overtime before, or it's just, I'm really at a loss for words with the way the Flyers are playing. Like, in no way, shape, or form am I happy with this or satisfied or trying to make anything into a positive. It's just, I'm not happy with it, and I'm starting to look at Ron Hextall. I'm starting to question Ron Hextall's decision making now, because I would like to see him maybe take a little bit more control of this team and start making some changes on his end with the overstepping Dave Hextall. Do you think Hexy should start stepping in a little bit more and start taking a little bit more control of this team if he hasn't already?
Well, absolutely, and he's got to give, you know, he's got to put a roster there that's going to have the best opportunity to win games. One of the big problems that we've seen is they tend to, for whatever reason, get some of these vets that the fans just absolutely hate and just see as bringing anchors on the team, like, you know, Bellemare and AMAC, and they think these guys are great NHL players.
Right.
You know, and they would never give them up for anything, it seems, which is just mind-boggling. I mean, extending Bellemare, giving him, you know, doubling his pay and making him an assistant captain. I mean, my head just exploded last year. I could not believe they did that. I mean, thank God Las Vegas took him in, you know, the expansion draft, which I'm sure, you know, shocked people, you know, and they think that, you know, AMAC is close to being a top pair defenseman. I mean, they consistently say he's a top three defenseman. So I think that Hextall definitely deserves some blame, and to the extent, you know, if, like, you know, the last 2 years, I mean, we all joked about, you know, the fourth line being the untouchables, which is just idiotic, you know, and Hextall just, you know, taking these useless older guys and playing them over, you know, guys that are supposed to be the future of the team, if he's going to do that, then Hextall has to step in and break that up so that he can't do that.
Right. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick 5-minute break, and we will be back here in 5 minutes. If you want to go ahead and give us a call, 661-449-9307. Go ahead and give us a call with any questions, opinions, anything like that, and we'll have the phone lines open. All right, everybody, we're back here, Gloves Off Hockey Podcast, talking about the Philadelphia Flyers. We have Kevin Fortier from the @PhillyIsFlyer. Follow them on Twitter. Now, over the weekend, we saw Sam Moran was brought back, was brought up to the team finally, which everybody has been waiting for all season for Sam Moran, the big 6'7" defenseman, or 6'8". I don't remember how tall he is exactly, but he's tall as shit. What are your thoughts on Moran so far in his first two games? He took a penalty there in that first game against New York. He took that delayed game penalty. I think he got called for a second penalty in that game as well. He got a cross-checking, I think, or something like that. He got a little rough. What do you think of Sam Moran so far?
Yeah, he hit that guy from behind, which really, you know, didn't make any sense. The play had moved on. But I like the physical element of his game. One thing that I really noticed in the first game against the Islanders, you know, he was just tossing guys left and right out from in front of the crease so that they weren't able to screen Elliott. That's an aspect that we haven't had any of in a while, is somebody who's really going to clear the crease. I thought that was big. He also did, you know, a pretty good job of breaking up plays, poke checking, you know, using his stick. That's always been one of his strong suits, you know, on the rush, defending against that, using his stick well, keeping guys to the outside. So I thought he's actually played pretty well overall.
Right. What do you think of the defense pairing so far with since they brought Moran back up?
Well, I posted at the time that I thought it didn't make any sense to break up another pair, because when Gudas got suspended, you had to bring somebody up, so it just kind of made sense, you know, to try to pair him with Sanheim. But instead, they break up Manning and Ghost, who had actually been playing well together, and then, you know, put Manning down with Sanheim and put Morin with Ghost. And we actually touched on last week that Manning has been kind of a pleasant surprise in his level of play. You know, not that he's like some super guy, but the fact that he's actually held his own, defended well. And one of the things that I meant to bring up last time, and I kept forgetting to do it, was the fact that, you know, he's actually led all defensemen and, for a while, even all of the rest of the Flyers in goals against per 60, which is pretty stunning. He was at, you know, 1.2, 1.3 right up until about 4 or 5 games ago, and then it crept up a little bit to like 1.4, 1.5, and went back to 1.4. But when he got paired with Sanheim, who has been by far the worst for several games, he was actually he was at right around 5 goals against per 60, and then he was at 4 for a while. He just got it under 3. He was at 2.9 before Gudas got suspended, and since then they were on the ice for 3 goals in the last game against the Islanders, and at least 2. The one before that, and 2 against Vancouver. Manning was on the ice for 2 against Vancouver, so Manning's goals against per 60 has shot all the way up to 1.9. And Sanheim is back around 3.6, 3.7, something like that. So the pairing is just not working well. It really exposes the weaknesses within each of their games. And I'm really kind of hoping that address that and put Manning back with Ghost and put Sanheim and Morin together, because they played in the AHL last year together, so it's not like they, you know, aren't going to be able to play together well.
Yeah, you know, that would make sense, because Manning and Ghost have played a lot together, even going back to the AHL. So, I mean, why break up those two and make two brand new lines? Just put Morin, Sanheim together, put Ghost and Manning back together, and let them get their chemistry back to going. Do you want to see more of Michael Neuwirth, or do you want to keep seeing Brian Elliott? Because Brian Elliott these last few games has been completely stellar. He's been keeping us in these games that we have no way should have been in for. Or do you think that Hextall just has no more confidence in Michael Neuwirth?
If that's the case, then a lot of that's on him. In two of Nuvi's three starts, the first three starts this season, the Flyers were shut out. He gave up like two goals against LA in that game, both of which, you know, were not his fault. And he was just on top of his game. His save percentage was like 0.956, and his goals against was 1.4 after his first four starts. But then, like we had said earlier, Elliott was getting the overwhelming number of starts. So it's hard to keep somebody sharp and on top of their game when, you know, they're getting in every 2 weeks.
Right.
So I don't know. I just don't know how to answer that question.
Yeah. Personally, I wouldn't mind seeing Neuwirth in there a few more games, kind of give Elliott some breaks. I mean, eventually Elliott, like, I think he's just starting to get tired. He's going to start breaking down here soon. And he got lucky on one goal there against the Islanders, which we got lucky was called back, but he's going to start breaking down here shortly. And I'd rather see Neuwirth starting getting in there, getting some more games and build his own confidence back up and go back to the Neuwirth that we've seen the first year when he came here and when we saw him against the Capitals in the playoffs, where he just completely robbed the Capitals. And he was saving games for us left and right for his first year back when he shut out the Islanders – or shut out the Blackhawks and then the Panthers – in back-to-back games his first year here. So I would like to see Neuwirth go back to that Neuwirth that we're kind of used to seeing. Now, because
yeah, well,
they're in the middle
also,
of...
I'm sorry, you also saw him, you know, shut out St. Louis this year.
Right.
You know, St. Louis is one or two in the league, and their offense has been really strong. So he's played several really strong games, and this goes, I mean, Hextall did the same thing with Mason and Nuvi last year, right? He played Mason 8 or 9 games. I think one stretch he played like 9 out of 11 games, and he just was exhausted and he had nothing left. And then he would, you know, play Nuvi for a couple of games, and then he would go back and just, you know, ride Mason into the ice. And it's just not a way, you know, for success.
Right. It's kind of hard to look at any positives with this team so far this season, other than I've been impressed with the rookies and, well, all the younger players in general. I've been impressed with them so far. It's a couple of the vets I've been not so impressed with. I hate to say this, but I'm pretty sure that this is going to be Wayne Simmons. It's either going to be his last year here or next season is going to be his last year here, especially if we don't get things turned around in this slide. I hate to see Wayne Simmons go play for another team. Hopefully they trade him out west so we only see him twice a year, because I don't know if my heart could take seeing him in another jersey 3-4 times in a season. Is this going to be it for Wayne Simmons? His contract is up next year. He's got a very team-friendly contract. What do you think, Kevin? Is this going to be his last season here?
I think it may be. he's going to be 30. He's going to be looking, you know, for a long-term deal. He's not going to want to, you know, have to renew again when he's 33, 34 years old. So he's probably going to be looking for a 6 or 7 year deal. And I just don't know if the Flyers are going to be able to do that. He plays a real physical game, you know, as a power forward. Those are the types of players that you see tend to, you know, the forwards that tend to break down a little bit more than you know, the fast, you know, skating, guys that aren't playing in a physical game night after night. So,
right.
You know, it could very well be, you know, and that's one of the things that, and I've harped on this, you know, for years now about the fact that the Flyers don't draft goal scorers. You know, they always look for, you know, two-way defensive centers. With Shen gone, if Simmons goes and you've got, you know, G and Giroux, yeah, they're doing great this season after, you know, several down seasons. You know, what if they kind of return to that form? And they're getting older as well. And when they leave, where's the offense going to come from?
Right.
I mean, we're not drafting, you know, elite goal scorers. We're drafting two-way defensive and average size guys, you know, 6'2" or 190 pound defensive centers. That's all we draft for the most part. And I'm really worried a couple of years from now what the offense is going to look like on this team.
Exactly. And if we actually trade away Wayne Simmons, then congratulations, LA, you won that trade, because in that trade with that set Mike Richards to LA, we traded for Wayne Simmons, Braden Shen, and a second pick. If we trade away Simmons and we trade away Shen, and we actually trade away that second pick, which turned into Devin Shore for Dallas, and we got Nicholas Grossman for it. So
ugh.
That's a bit of a waste right there. I'd have to not. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, what a steal that trade was. We send Richards, who, you know, yeah, had like one or maybe two good seasons with LA, won a cup, and then just completely disintegrated, and we got Shen and Simmons out of that. I mean, who have been 1 and 2 in goal scoring for the last several years, you know, for the Flyers, and we're, you know, we just, yeah.
Yeah, it just wasted away. It's a shame that we just couldn't do anything during that time we had them. I will say this, if Simmons is traded, I think he's going to have to be traded I want to see him win a cup, and unfortunately, it's not going to happen in Philadelphia. We're not as close as we should be. But yeah, as you're saying, like the whole with drafting players, this year I think we're going to get another. We'll get a top 10 pick. I haven't looked too much into this draft pool, see what's coming up, but hopefully we start drafting goal scorers and get away from the two-way defensemen or the two-way forwards. Because how many two-way forwards does one team actually need on them? Especially when we're supposed to have one of the best defensive cores out there. Let the defensemen play defense, and let our damn forwards go out there and play, score some goals. Just enough of the two-way forwards.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you've got to be responsible, you know, defensively as a forward, but you've got to have guys that can create offense, and
right.
They're just, you know, they just don't seem to value that. I mean, and you saw that where we get that extra first rounder, you know, and we use it to take Morgan Frost, who, you know, yeah, looks like a good, you know, average size two-way forward who can score, you know, who can put up points in the juniors, but is that going to translate over, you know, Tolvanen, who is like shattering all the records in the KHL for, you know, scoring as an 18-year-old, and he's not going to be 19 until the end of April next year.
Right.
And he's just dominating, you know, in the second best league, you know, for hockey.
Yeah, me and you both questioned taking Frost. So I know a lot of other people were out there were pretty supportive of it, liked it. But yeah, there are definitely quite a few of out there, a few of us out there that questioned that pick and taking Frost. Well, we still have the other first-round pick from St. Louis that we got in that Shen trade, so hopefully we don't waste that one.
Yep, you know, and of course you've got DeBrincat playing, you know, for Chicago while
yep.
LeBurge is, you know, still muddling around, you know, in the queue.
Yeah, honestly, I don't expect to see him up in the NHL. I think he's probably going to be... He's either going to be an AHL lifer, or you might see him on a fourth, third line maybe, but definitely not where we want to have him at. He's not panning out, I don't think, anyway, in my opinion.
No, I don't think he's ever going to, you know, we're not going to see him in orange and black. He's just, you know, we're either going to, you know, trade him away as, you know, some throwaway or you know, he's just going to be an AHL player.
Right, right. Carter Hart over the weekend has set a new shutout record for shutouts up there in Everett. Still going to be a few years away before we see Carter up here in the big team, but what are your thoughts on Carter Hart so far? I don't know if you get to see Carter Hart or hear much about him, but do you think he's going to be our next big goalie that is going to – we haven't had a goalie in forever, honestly, other than Steve Mason – which I like Mason. A lot of people didn't like Mason, but I liked him. I thought he was a good goalie. He just didn't get any support with him with our lack of defensive core we had when he was here. Do you think Carter Hart might, when he comes up here in a couple years, could be the goalie of the future for the Flyers?
Well, he's certainly exciting to watch. You know, and see how he's played. Yeah, I mean, I don't get a chance to actually see many of the, you know, games he's played in, but, I mean, he is just tearing up, you know, the Canadian, you know, Hockey League. I mean, he's, you know, goalie of the year. I mean, they should just, you know, automatically give that to him. I mean, he's tremendous, you know, and yeah, you're right. It's going to be a handful of years before we're looking at, you know, him, you know, seriously challenging, you know, for a job in net for the Flyers. But he seems to have the tools. He's really smart. He sees the game well. It's certainly the best the best prospect we've seen in quite some time, you know, an exciting, you know, young potential, you know, future starting goalie coming up in the system. Felix Sandstrom is really good too. His numbers aren't, you know, great this year. He's had some issues with support as well. They both have really high ceilings, I think. And he actually played better. He outplayed Hart in the juniors last year. So it'll be interesting. It's really exciting to see some of these young guys, you know, that the Flyers have in net, you know, for the future. I was actually disappointed when they traded Merrick Madsen, you know, Harvard's goalie. He's been one of the best goalies in hockey the last 3 years. He's a big guy. He's quick. Again, he has really good sense. He's very smart. You know, we had three guys that really looked like they could, you know, be future starters in the NHL. And we've seen with, you know, I mean, we all thought Stoley was the next guy, and now he's blown his knee out twice. And who knows what he's going to be like, you know, when and if he comes back. So they traded Madsen away because they thought that, you know, they had an abundance, you know, of guys ahead of him. But you never know how that's going to shake out.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we've got about 10 minutes left, so I didn't get to ask you this last time, but what would you grade Hextall so far on his Ron Hextall? What would you grade his tenure here so far with everything he's done?
It's funny because I've actually gotten in trouble for being critical of some of, and again, I stress some of the things that he's done, you know, and have been told that I should, you know, just go find another team because we're apparently not allowed to say anything critical of Hextall. I would say probably a B. He's done a good job of getting rid of a lot of the dead contracts that, you know, Holmgren had left over. He's done a decent job drafting, but again, there's certainly some picks that, you know, I just vehemently disagree with, and the whole, you know, the philosophy of the two-way centers, you know, if there's an elite goal scorer available. Overall, you know, he's done a good job. He, you know, he's made some bad decisions. The Weiss contract, signing Gordon, re-signing, you know, extending Bellemare was just, I still can't even fathom what the thought process for that was.
Right.
You know, I thought that they should have gotten rid of Reed. They should have bought him out. It was just completely minuscule. His contract hit next year in the buyout for that 1 year would have been $1.1 million, and they're probably going to have about $10 million in cap space next year. I mean, to me, that was just a no-brainer. And, you know, when people said, oh, no, you know, they're not going to block young players. Well, you know, we saw the logjam. You know, it was Reed, Laterra, Weiss. And, you know, in the meantime, you've got, you know, Martel, Vecchione, you know, who could, you know, or who are better players and, you know, could have been up getting experience. So, you know, they waived Reed and brought Martel up. But, yeah, he's, you know, overall, you know, he's done a good job, but he's, you know, he's had some bad decisions and, you know, and that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, we saw at the beginning of the series, at the beginning of the year when he said that we're not going to, if we have young people on the player or on the team, we're not going to sit them. Well, the very first couple games, we saw Sanheim sit. It's like, you say
yep.
one thing, and then you let Dave Hextall, sit him. It's like, I don't take anything they say serious anymore. I don't believe anything they say. Like, I understand that Ron Hextall was an amazing goalie here. He was a fan favorite for so long, but I don't have that loyalty to Hextall. He didn't bring a cup here. He's a good guy. I love him to death, but I don't have that loyalty to Hextall. If he messes up, then I'm going to be the first one to say goodbye. I would give him probably two more years to start getting this thing turned around. And if we don't see an improvement in 2 years, sorry, Hexy, but bye, you're gone. You can take your son's coach, Dave Hextall, right there with you, you know, because Dave Hextall, I'm very critical of Dave Hextall. I do not like the man. I know firing him this year is not going to turn nothing around, but at least make it look like you give a shit and that you want this team to improve, because having Hextall there, I don't think this team is going to improve. This team is not going to win a Stanley Cup with Dave Hextall as a coach. Sorry, it's not going to happen. Your experiment with hiring a college coach is not working. North Dakota didn't win nothing with Dave Hextall until the year after Dave Hextall left. Then they finally won. I don't like Dave Hextall, obviously, and I'm starting to question Ron Hextall's abilities as well. Like you said, he has done some good things to trade away those bad contracts, but the free agency has not necessarily killed this team, but it's brought his grade down on me. Like, I'm probably right there with you. I'm probably like a B-. Maybe even a C plus right now, just because of that free agency and because he said stuff and then let Hextall go ahead and do the complete opposite of what he says, which just it bothers me.
Yeah, you know, free agent. I mean, the 2 seasons ago, the free agency. I mean, the only people he signs, you know, were Gordon and Weiss. I mean, that was just a total disaster. You know, yeah, you know, we don't want to, you know, mortgage the future. That's great. But there are certainly, you know, solid guys out there who could be, you know, secondary scoring and, you know, give some of the younger players a better chance of succeeding. You know, I would much rather see, you know, I was one of the guys I wanted was David Perron on the left side because our left wing, you know, has been really weak. You know, having him on the line, you know, potentially with Patrick and Simmons or, you know, with Konechny, you know, would be a huge thing. And there were plenty of other guys, too, that, you know, right. that signed reasonable cap hits and, you know, weren't signed forever that could have, you know, significantly upgraded over some of the guys that we had on this team.
Yeah. How much more longer are you giving Hextall before you start questioning his job?
It's going to be, you know, you got to give him another couple years and, you know, see where we are. If this team hasn't made significant leaps, you know, then, yeah, it's legitimate to question, you know, how he's leading. But if Hextall is still here after the end of this season, especially if we don't make the playoffs, I mean, just forget. I mean, it's going to be a complete, you know, revolt and Flyer fan.
Oh, yeah, because please believe us Flyer fans, we will be heard, and they will know that we're not happy with this team. I'll be surprised if Hextall doesn't win the next few games. Like, if we continue this slide, if it goes to 10 games, if Hextall is still coach, I'm not going to be happy. 10 games is completely unacceptable. If we lose the next three games. I know that we have a game coming up here Monday against Pittsburgh. Then we're home against the Sharks, and then we're home against the Bruins. If we don't win those three games, Hextall has to go. It's make it look like you care. Make it acknowledge the fact that you just admit that your experiment failed. I know Hextall has a big ego and he doesn't want to admit that he was wrong, but you got to do it once in a while as a GM in the NHL. You have to admit that, hey, I tried something, didn't work. We'll move on from it. I know there's no other coaches out there right now that could make a change in this team, but Hextall is not the answer in the long run. It's just not going to work out for him.
No, and the problem is you saw so many quality coaches, you know, go by while we've been sitting here with Hextall. And, you know, and I was not a big fan of Berube as coach either. You know, they should have fired Berube and jumped all over Boudreaux when he became available. I mean, imagine if we had him behind the bench the last, you know, 3 years.
I mean, I would have loved to have seen Babcock back here, but I know that was going to be a long stretch to get him because Babcock wanted a lot more than just being a head coach. He wanted more with the GM and contracts and things like that, which we all know Hextall's not going to give up that. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure the season's still young and we'll probably see a couple big-name coaches or – We'll at least see better coaches than Dave Hextall. We'll see them let go before the season's over and hopefully make a change during the season or in the off season. But, yeah, I'm giving Hextall three more games. Well, I'm already calling for Dave Hextall to be fired, but if we don't see it in the next three games, if we lose those, then I think you're going to see Flyers Twitter burn the whole world down here. Because, like I said, thank God that the Eagles and Sixers are fun this year and you're doing good because if not who knows where the city of Philadelphia would be right now.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been calling for Hextall to be fired since last year, so I'm right there with you. The next, you know, Pittsburgh has not been playing well, but they're going to get up for Philly. And then San Jose and Boston, that's a tough three-game stretch there.
Right, and it's weird because Dave Hextall's first season here, I questioned it. But I was impressed with the way that he brought the team to life. We made the playoffs, and I was like, hey, brand new coach from the college. He took this NHL team, which I really didn't have many expectations for, but he took them to the playoffs. And then the next year, he regressed. And I was like, nah, dude, you got to be fired, because he was just making questionable calls. And then this year, he's regressed some more. It's like, it's amazing what happens over 3 years, how you go from giving someone the benefit of the doubt to wanting them fired.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for our time on the Gloves of Hockey podcast. I want to thank Kevin Fortier from the Phillies Flyer for joining us today as we talk about the Philadelphia Flyers. Thank you, Kevin, for joining us.
Hey, thanks for letting me join in here. It's always been fun. I've enjoyed doing this last couple of weeks, and hopefully we'll do it some more in the future.
Oh, definitely, man. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks, Mike. Bye.
All right, everybody, like I said, it's going to do it for our show today. Look for some future shows. I believe on Monday we're going to be talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's going to be someone else is going to be talking about that. I'm not sure what they got going on, but it's going to be Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern time, I believe. Just check our Facebook, check our Twitter for the updates and times with that and for all our future shows. But like I said, y'all have a good one, and happy Sunday.